Our next public hearing is subdivision 2005-40, Paul S. and Doris T. Barron.
This is an application to consider the subdivision of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district in Broad Creek 100, Sussex County, dividing 21.88 acres into 22 lots, located east of Road 465A, 381 feet north of Route 24. This application was also reviewed by the Technical Advisory Committee, and I would ask Mr. Abbott if he has any additional comments.
Mr. Wheatley, the Technical Advisory Committee report of October 19, 2005 will be made a part of the record for this application. Don't have any other agency comments, but just a brief history of this site. On May 24th of 2001, the Commission granted preliminary approval for 22 lots. This layout is the same as the previous plan. On June 13th of 2002, the Commission granted a one-year time extension, and they never asked for another extension, said the office voided the application. That's the reason it's back.
All right, sir. Thank you. Is there anyone here representing this application?
I'm Don Miller, and I'm representing the Barons in their application for this 22-lot subdivision. As Shane pointed out, it was previously given preliminary approval, but because of trying to get it through the various agencies, we just couldn't get the job done before the application time ran out. Nothing has changed since the original application. Still requesting 22 lots in an AR1 district. There are 21.8 acres. The subdivision street is to remain private and be constructed according to the county regulations. Lots will have on-site wells and individual septic systems. The subdivision is not in the 100-year floodplain, or do wetlands exist on this property. The owners are planning on stick-built homes only. They would be a minimum of 1,200 square feet with at least a one-car attached garage. They will allow detached garages, however, if the owner would like that, if the person purchasing would like to do that. The individuals will be required to have at least two off-street parking spaces. The entire parcel at this time is a cleared land. There is a cemetery on the property, and access to that cemetery has been provided for. I have nothing to add to Mr. Abbott's comments, but I'd be happy to answer any questions that you all may have.
All right, sir. Mr. Miller, we'll see if anybody's got any. Mr. Gordy.
So, Mr. Miller, would you say that the lots would be in character with the strip lots that they're currently on, 24 and 74?
Yes, I can't speak wholly for them. What has been told me that they will be stick-built, and they will be a minimum of 1,200 square feet. I think most of the houses that are along there are at least of that square footage. I don't think there'd be anything smaller than that. Probably a number of those are larger than that. This 1,200 is a minimum. I think most people use that figure, but today most people do build larger homes.
And this is more or less the same that was in 2001. Nothing's really changed.
That's correct, yes. Subdivision's the same.
I don't have any further questions.
All right, sir. Mr. Smith?
Mr. Robertson, do we have a restrictive covenant?
No, we don't, but I can't speak for whether there were restrictive covenants submitted back in 2001.
Looks like.
Did you submit these before?
I think it mentions that.
Mr. Nibble, if you'd be kind enough to come up and introduce yourself, so I don't want to ask you a question.
It looks like Mr. Abbott's handed me that there were some that were submitted back in 2001.
Same ones as last time?
Yes, sir.
All right, then, we've got them.
State your name for the record.
I'm sorry, you need to state your name and address for the record.
Oh, I'm Norris Nibley, and I'm part owner of this property. It was submitted in Paul Byrne's name, but we have since settled for it.
But, well, apparently it was done with the original application, and if they haven't changed, then it hasn't changed.
And it looks like actually the office received a more recent set about 2 weeks ago.
Okay, then. All right, so they're here.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have any other questions. I just noticing on the notes it mentions HOA would take care of the buffered strip, and I've just asked Mr. Robertson at some point to make sure that would also include the stormwater management area.
Typically it does, but we'll check that. Sure.
No questions.
Okay, Mr. Johnson?
I have no questions, Mr. Chairman.
Burton?
The graveyard is in this lot?
There's a graveyard on the property.
Looks like it's in one of the lots.
Is it on one of the lots? No.
It's
number 19.
It fronts on the road. The lot surrounds it on two sides, and the adjacent lot surrounds it, but it is not in the lot per se. That house would front Duke Court, and it would be like in their rear yard is where the graveyard would end. But the access to that would be off Barron's Drive.
Cemetery is not within a lot line.
It's that's correct. It borders the right of way of Barron's Drive.
In the covenants, does it mention maintenance of the graveyard?
No, the covenants do not mention that maintenance. No.
But didn't I thought it was noted on the drawing? Am I supposed to maintain it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they have access from a public road, though, right?
That's right.
So they're not crossing.
Is that a public road?
Well, it's a public right of way. I mean, it's they don't have to go across somebody's lot to get to it.
Okay.
I don't know who's maintaining.
Who's going to maintain the graveyard?
Good question. Do we know? Do we know who's going to maintain the graveyard?
Homeowner Association will maintain the road after it's all sold out. We'll maintain them until it's sold out.
Okay. No further questions.
Okay, Mr. Lack?
No questions.
Mr. Couch?
I had a question and it went right out of my mind.
All right, moving right along.
You had your chance.
If it comes back to you before Mr. Robertson's done, we'll come back. Mr. Robertson?
Have you been through the State Historic Preservation Office with that cemetery? Just because typically they'll make you include some specific language in those restrictive covenants when you start dealing with graveyards and cemeteries.
No, they've not been.
Not yet.
That reminds me of my question. Because this expired and we're going back through the process, have the other agency approvals expired also, or are they?
I'm not
sure. We have to start all over again.
They didn't have any. And yeah, and this would be approached as though it's a brand new subdivision.
That's right.
Right. Okay. So you basically have to have all the agency approvals.
That's correct. Yes.
They start over with everybody, and then they start here.
And the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then the time starts over again.
That's all.
That's the only question.
That's it. Yes, sir.
Okay. Gentlemen, we thank you. If you'll take a seat for a minute, we'll see if there's anybody here that has an interest in your application. Is there anyone here who would like to speak in favor of subdivision 2040, Paul S. and Doris T. Barron? Is there anyone here who would like to speak in opposition to subdivision 2005-40? Yes, sir. Step right up. I want you to come up here, give us your name and address, and then you can ask us anything you want.
Name is Fermi Sesson. I live at 12275 Laurel Road. I just want to know, would they building this homes out here, would that affect me already living there?
Would it affect you?
Yes.
Well, I think you're probably in a better position to tell us that than we would be to tell you. I mean,
I
don't understand what you mean by affect you. Can you tell me what you mean?
Do I have to join an association? Do I have to, have a...
No, sir. No, indeed.
So I'm locked in as
you're good to go. You're good to go. You've got your your lot, and it is not affected at all by any of this. You don't have to do anything any different than you're already doing.
Good. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome, sir.
What was your name again?
Furman Sessom.
Thank you.
Okay, is there anyone else who'd like to speak in opposition? Anyone on the commission have any questions? There being none, we'll close the public hearing. You're welcome to stay with us for the rest of the evening to see if we make a decision, or you may call the office in the morning. Our next public hearing is subdivision 2005-41, Keith Properties.
This is an application to consider the subdivision of land in a MR, medium density residential district, in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, proposing to divide 22.01 acres into six lots, located at the end of Nature's Walkway within Fenwick Shoals subdivision on the south side of Route 54 and being east of Fenwick Farm subdivision. This application was also reviewed through the Technical Advisory Committee process, and I would ask Mr. Abbott if he had any additional comments.
The TAC report of October 19th, 2005 will be made a part of the record, Mr. Chairman. On May 22nd, the applicant's attorney, Mr. Fuquay, submitted a packet. Included in this packet are a copy of the restrictions, a copy of the Phase 3 plan, and agency approvals from the following. Two from the Army Corps of Engineers, Sussex County Engineering Department, Division of Water Resources, Fire Marshal, DLDOT, Sussex County Addressing, Sussex Conservation District, Artesian Water Company, and Delaware Health and Social Services. I'll pass that down if anybody wants to review it. We received three letters. The first one's addressed to the commission and makes reference to the application number. As president of Fenwick Farms Association, I want to take this opportunity to say without a doubt that Keith Properties has always asked members of Fenwick Farms Development what he can do to improve his properties. So as a community, we would approve. I personally have seen where he has complied with the environmental and zoning laws, which the Planning and Zoning Commission approved. On his property, he has cleaned the back of his house and installed trees to make his property look environmentally safe. He has completed two sections of this development. With talking to Keith Properties, I have seen where the homes from the back of the property to the foundation have complied with the setbacks required by the Planning and Zoning Commission. That was signed by Stan Randall, the president of Fenwick Farms Association. On May 4th, we received a letter addressed to the commission. This company has not complied with environmental or zoning laws. Among other compliances, Fenwick Farms was required to have setbacks on all of our properties. Keith Properties have none. Because of what has already been built there, I do not want others to have their flood insurance raised, such as mine was, because Keith Properties did not comply with environmental and zoning laws. That was signed by Barbara Friedman. Today we received a letter. It was addressed to Mrs. Friedman, and it was carbon copied to our department. It's from the Sussex Conservation District. Dear Mrs. Friedman, Conservation District was forwarded a copy of your letter dated May 1st, 2006 to the County Planning and Zoning Commission regarding the above referenced project. The district approved Fenwick Shoals Phase 1 on September 9th of 2003 and Phases 2 and 3 on April 6th of 2004. We have been actively inspecting these projects for sediment and stormwater management, and at this time the above project is in compliance with the approved plan. If you have any questions, please contact the district. That was signed by Jessica Watson. And that's all I have unless you have any questions.
Yes, sir. Mr. Robertson?
I just wanted to point out to the commission's attention, since I think maybe Mr. Wheatley, Mr. Gordy were on the commission, this was one that was, I think it was alluded to, considered by the commission, what, probably 3 years ago? Something like that. And at the time, Mr. Lynch, I think, made a motion to approve all but this phase three, because he had some concerns about this rear phase three and access to it. So I imagine that they're going to address those access issues. But it's not one that, the commission hasn't seen, and that's probably why they already have agency approvals, as Mr. Abbott mentioned, because they already had the site plan prepared for the whole thing. The other thing I just wanted to clarify, there was a letter in here from Ms. Friedman, and just for the record, I want to respond. I doubt very strongly that anybody's flood insurance was raised because of this property. I know the flood maps were recently revised, and that might have had something to do with it, but flood insurance wouldn't be affected by how another property owner uses their property. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All right, sir. Thank you. Appreciate the clarification. And is there anyone here representing this application?
Good evening again, gentlemen. My name is J.C. Owens with Design Consultants Group, Milton, Delaware. With me tonight is Richard and Brian Keith of Keith Properties and Mr. Kelly Pearson, Senior Environmental Scientist of EnviroTech Environmental Consultants. This project is located on approximately 3.63 acres of land that comprise Phase 3 of Fenwick Shoals. Phase 1 was granted final approval and is completed at this time. Phase 2 was also granted final approval and is under construction. Out of 3.63 acres of land, approximately 1.58 acres of wetlands will remain after the approved mitigation procedures. In that packet that was passed down is the Army Corps of Engineers permit for the mitigation and wetlands. The remaining area provides for the recommended right-of-way, six lots that meet the minimum required size of 10,000 square feet in an MR district. Public water will be handled by Artesian Water Company, and the sewer will be provided by Sussex County. Stormwater will be handled by the use of biofiltration swales. We currently have approvals for the following agencies: Fire Marshal, Army Corps of Engineers, Sussex Conservation District, Sussex County Engineering Department, DENREC Division of Water Resources, DELDOT, with the letter of no objection for the use of the existing entrance, Sussex County Mapping and Dressing, Artesian Water Company, and the Division of Public Health. As Mr. Robinson alluded to, Fenwick Shoals was heard on May 13th of 2003 and discussed by the commission on May 22nd of 2003. At that time, lots 1 through 36 were approved as a preliminary, while lots 37 through 42 were not. I would like to refer to the minutes of that night, and more specifically, the following items. Item number 4, in which Mr. Lynch stated that there would be an adverse effect on the surrounding wetlands due to the location of the roadway and the need to cross them. We have obtained the wetlands crossing and mitigation plan permit that has been approved by the Army Corps of Engineers. Item number 5, Mr. Lynch states that lots 37 through 42 would affect the critical areas. Once again, we obtained the Army Corps permit and the Department of Conservation District approval. Number 6, Mr. Lynch was also concerned with accessibility for emergency vehicles. We obtained the crossing approval from the Army Corps, along with road approval from Sussex County Engineering Department and site approval from the State Fire Marshal's Office. At present, Keith Properties is working on the crossing and mitigation. Due to the time constraint of the Army Corps permit, which specifies that the mitigation must be formed by January 31st of 2007. As many of you have probably ventured out to the site, you've seen that they have gone back into that area. Part of the Army Corps' permit was that they had to install the crossing at 2 and Phase 3 to satisfy the permit. And once again, it's got to be completed by 2007. We respectfully request that you look favorably upon this application.
All right, sir. Thank you. We'll respectfully find out if anybody's got any questions for you. Mr. Smith.
I just have a question either for Mr. Lank or for Mr. Robertson, just to clarify for me again that this is a separate application. So this was reviewed back in 2003 and acted on in 2004 as phases one and two?
Actually, Mr. Lank, I happened to see that I pulled up a copy of Mr. Lynch's motion, and it wasn't done by phases. At that time, it looks like the way his motion was worded, it was that there was an application for, I guess, the 42 lots, and then Mr. Lynch approved 36 of the 42 lots, withholding approval at that point, because there weren't the permits that were referenced for lots 37 through 42. So that's all that was approved. And so this is a separate matter for, you know, it's called phase three. They're seeking preliminary approval separately of phase three. That answer your question?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, it does. Okay. And Mr. Owens mentioned items 4, 5, and 6, went over them. Could you briefly explain to me about the mitigation, because I just did see that packet for the first time and didn't have a chance to review it.
Okay. When the roads were planned and the wetland delineation done thereafter, part of the wetlands entered into the road right-of-way. So part of the mitigation was to fill in those areas and basically create wetlands, I believe at a 2-to-1 ratio, somewhere on the site. As you notice, part of this mitigation, I'll do it this way. Part of the mitigation is back here in this buffer. These areas right here, outside the right-of-way, which, as you can see from this drawing right now, that this area and this area and these two here encroach on the right-of-way. So those areas are mitigated along with the crossings to cross the wetlands. As you can see, now the new wetlands line falls right here.
At the time, also, this application was considered by the commission. Of course, it was the preliminary stage, so they wouldn't have had an opportunity to go to get the Conservation District or the Corps of Engineers sign off, you know, and so I think that might have played into what Mr. Lynch's concerns were. There was the presentation, but there wasn't anything to back it up.
And we went through a pretty lengthy process with the Army Corps to get all the proper permitting to do this mitigation.
The on your rendering there, the green area in between the lots, are those just drainage easements, sort of little alleyways?
There's a drainage easement. I have to look at this one so I can point at this one. There's a drainage easement through this area here and back this way. And then there's another one, I believe, between lots 39 and 38 to go back here. What you're seeing here is the dark green area is the lot, the size of lot itself, and the lighter green is the buildable area on that lot.
And one last question. One of the complimentary letters made mention, I think it said that Mr. Keith had planted some trees behind his house and done things. Seeing that these lot sizes are small, probably tight spots to work with, but was there any thought given to being able to save any of the existing trees in the developed area?
Do you have to
step up and come up?
What do we
name and address, please, sir?
Richard Keith, 26 Yacht Basin Road, Ocean View.
Outstanding.
Go and ahead. Brian Keith, Fenwick Shoals.
I the one thing that we had to do when we started doing the whole project, we had to raise the ground up a lot. So in order for to create these bioswales and for everything to drain and stay on the property and not run off, we had to build everything up. Well, when we did this, the trees suffered. I mean, there's just, you can't put 3 foot of dirt next to a tree and it's expected to survive. In the back, I mean, with the way the whole property's laid out, it's surrounded by trees. I mean, there's trees on both ends, on both sides of the property. It's actually, when you go in, it's like a cul-de-sac with only houses on one side, and on both sides of the property are trees, and then the very back of phase three, it's surrounded by trees all the way around. And I mean, so densely, you can't even see through the trees. So the
areas that we're talking about are, they're pretty, I mean, there's, it's like you're in a forest when you're back there. And I mean, plus it's quiet, it's, you know, it's very secluded. But at the same time, when we, our intentions in the beginning was to save as many as we possibly could. But then as we started filling and you know, bringing this stuff up to grade, the trees were gonna die. I mean, there's, once you put fill up next to a tree, it just, it doesn't stay the same. And a lot of things that we, what happened when we cleared a lot of it, for some reason, which we're noticing, is when you clear and with the storms down here, as soon as the next storm comes along, because it's, the trees weren't used to being exposed to any kind of weather, they toppled like toothpicks. I mean, we had a couple nasty storms that caused this. I mean, this is 3 years ago that we had done all this. So we've hit these storms, and we ended up having to clean up the mess, and then we've even lost trees in the wetlands areas because of these, you know, not having a buffer to, you know, to keep them from blowing over. But we do make an effort to do so, and we also, in the process of this mitigation, we're planting, like 400 and some trees in the whole area because of the mitigation areas. That and there will be like little tree gardens, I guess.
All right, sir.
No other questions.
No other questions? Thank you. Mr. Gordy?
No questions.
Mr. Johnson?
No questions.
Mr. Burke?
No questions from me.
Mr. Lang?
No questions.
Mr. Gauss?
No questions.
Mr. Robertson?
No questions.
My goodness. How about that?
All right, gentlemen, if you'll stand down for a second, we'll see if anyone has an interest in your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of subdivision 2005-41 Keith Properties? Yes, sir. Step right up. We need your name and address, and the floor is yours.
My name is Stan Randall. I'm at 38033 Sunny Winters Drive in Selbyville. I was the person that wrote the letter. I am the Fenwick Farms Association president. And I've conversed with Keith Properties since they've started this development. And I think they've really done a good job. We've concerned a few things which they've taken care of, and they have always asked us what they can do for us. And I just want to accept them as doing a good job.
All right, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Is there anyone else who would like to speak in favor? Is there anyone here who would like to speak in opposition to subdivision 2005-41 Keith Properties? Yes, sir. And then you.
My name is Carl Alessi out of a 35 Rock Elm Drive, Selbyville, Delaware. The project the Keith Brothers are putting up is a really nice project. The homes are beautiful. It's a gated community. My only concern and objection has to deal with the wetlands. I've lived there at my house, if I can go to the photograph.
Sure, go ahead.
Which this photograph was taken about year 2000.
Okay.
Because this was the original chicken farm houses that was there. So lived here for about 10 years. And when we started living there, the clarity of the water was good. And I'm not blaming the Keiths. There's been a lot of changes in the county. But now we've had algae blooms and problems. And for the last couple of years, this area here, where there's a large drainage ditch, and I think you see it on the drawing, tremendous amount of soil and erosion happens when storms occur. It's such a big area that they have to control, which is going to happen, and eventually it's going to get cleared out. I can't say exactly how much of this area they're cleared, but it's a substantial, a strong amount of trees that I see is missing. But that's not my main concern about the trees. My main concern is the wetlands. If you look at the Corps of Engineers approval, it looks to me as if the only thing they approved was phase two, if you look on the top of their letter. I'm not finding the approval of phase three. Also, we've been trying to deal with this thing since 2000, and back in 2000, this was generated a land use, land cover diagram or however you want to face it. And it looks as if I could pass, can I pass this around to y'all? If you look at this cutout here, it looks like, can I untouch this? If you look at the outline of this diagram, it looks as the outline of this, and the blue on the land use, it's over in here, it's very strong. There's no upland, and when we started this whole thing back in 2000, Basalamo came in, he wanted to put townhouses, and that was shot down, and apparently sold it to the Keys, and the Keys took over, and they're sticking to the rules, everything's fine, but apparently there's been a couple different surveys on this particular lot, and my only concern is how are we getting uplands in this phase three when it looked as if it was wetlands? And that was reiterated in the letter back in 2003. And it had to deal with these lots 37 through 42. There was a survey done in 2000 that showed, and I can't get my hands on it yet, but you may have it when this was originally owned by Basalamo, that was all indicated as wetlands. Now it's uplands. So my question is too, has the if I'm reading the letter from the Corps of Engineers properly, it doesn't look as if phase three has been approved by the Corps, because in the caption it looks like it's referring to phase two. And as far as, I just want to make sure that they're not filling in wetlands that need to be set aside for the use of a good environment.
Right. Well, Mr. Lessie, you raised two very good questions. If you would be so kind as to step aside, I'm going to ask the applicant to answer those for us. Okay. Mr. Owens, would you address the issues that are of concern here?
The one thing, to our knowledge, as far as the wetlands, the entire area being wetlands, is that there was no prior delineation done. Then when the delineation was completed, then we found that there was uplands in the area. In reference to the permit.
Are you saying that there was no actual wetlands delineation prior to 2003 that you're aware of? Is that what you're telling me?
That I'm aware of to date. Are you guys aware of it at all?
So it was just some assumption that it was all wetlands?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Go ahead.
As far as the Army Corps permit, if whoever has that in front of them at the moment, the title block does say phase two, but when you look at the drawings, the 2-to-1 mitigation required mitigation to be done back here to make it all work out. That's why it says phase two, but if you look at the drawings, it encompasses the whole phase two, phase three area.
Okay. All right, sir. Anything else?
Just a question for the applicant.
Don't ask me, and we'll see if I can answer for it.
This area, phase three, they've been working really hard clearing this area. 10 o'clock the other night. Working on weekends and Sundays, and they're really working the busting tail. But and as I look at it, it looks like they're clearing, and I can't say for sure. I'm asking a question: is that cleared totally with no trees? I see no trees through as I look. And is that true that this has all been cleared already, phase three? Okay. Phase three has been cleared. What is the purpose of this hearing? If they go and they well, I guess you can tear, take down trees on your own property, is that right?
Well, we're getting ready to find out. Robertson.
Well, with regard to that, with, you know, I mean, to some extent, it would be no different than, you know, a farmer that wanted to clear additional trees. The purpose of this hearing is whether, if they've cleared trees now, they own a, you know, a great big open area, or they own an area that's got preliminary approval for lots on it. The fact they've cleared trees does not prejudge anything or mean that, you know, again, there's no ordinance that says you can't clear trees on your property.
And I'm getting off my issue, my platform. It's the wetlands that, and as I look over there, and like I said, they've been big dump trucks of soil and sand or whatever they're dump, and it is raised up substantially. Who do we say can check to say that they didn't fill in the wetlands that they're supposed to not fill in? How can we?
Well, I can assure you that there's somebody watching.
Okay.
The Conservation District. Excuse me, sir. If you're going to speak, you got to come up front, identify yourself, and speak to the commission.
Sussex Conservation District's going to.
The Conservation District, Sussex Conservation District, has the jurisdiction over that, over those items that you're concerned about, and they do. I can assure you that they do frequent inspections, and they are quite sensitive to wetland encroachments. And I think that, and if you'd like to know more about that, give them a call. They'll be happy to talk with you about it, explain what their process is, and you can express your concern to them.
Hey, just one last comment. Once again, their development is beautiful. The houses are gorgeous. The roadways are nice. It's beautiful. But when it rains, they have a swell that comes right into the lagoon. When it rains, there is a ton of worn off, and there's got to be something done. We call, but nothing gets done.
Who so, are you calling?
Called Denrack, or we should call Keith Brothers to see what they could do. I never did that, but maybe if I do that, maybe I'll get some.
Perhaps he seemed to like this guy over here. He said they did all kinds of good things for him, so maybe they'll do something good for you.
There you go.
The
environment. It's not for me. It's not for me.
Well,
it's
for all of us, then.
Exactly. You like flounder fishing?
I like flounder. You're welcome, sir. Thank you. We appreciate your time this evening. Is there anyone else who would like to speak in opposition? Yes, sir. Come right up.
Again, my name is Pete Keenan. I live on 30. Well, now it's 38230 Rock Elm Drive with the new codes. And again, I want to thank you very much for giving me the opportunity to address this commission. I probably will bore you here with my dissertation that I'm going to give to you, but
only for so long.
Only for so long. I'm going to probably reiterate a lot what Mr. Lisi did say. The property that issue contains extensive wetlands. According to the site plan for this property submitted in December 2000 in connection with the original rezoning application, which was used and relied on by this commission and city council in connection with that proceeding, 38% of the total land area, 8.35 acres out of 22, consists of wetland. And this raises at least two important issues. First, the actual extent and location of wetlands are both in serious question. Several areas of wetland seem to have disappeared between 2000 rezoning plan considered by the commission and the September 2002 subdivision plan submitted by the applicants. Specifically, the area where lots 37 through 42 are proposed to be located was shown as a wetlands on the December 2000 site plan, but is shown as uplands on the plan by the surveyor retained by the current developers. In view of this clear inconsistency between the two plans, we submit that it should be inappropriate for the commission to approve the proposed subdivision plan on the basis of the revised survey without requiring the applicants to obtain a jurisdictional determination and verification by the means of an on-site field survey. Second, but of equal importance, developers make no attempt whatsoever to minimize the impact of the project on the wetlands they acknowledge exist on the property. Instead, in order to shoehorn as many lots as possible into potential building portions of the property, the proposed bulldozing through the wetlands on the western portion of this property and building a paved road over and through these wetlands permanently destroy them for the future generations. The area around Inland Bays has seen enough wetlands destruction in recent years. This proposal is wholly inconsistent with the public interest in protecting the few wetlands which still remain in our area. Also, I mentioned that they have already deforested a number of lots on that area. Now, you just addressed that question by saying it's your property. You have full permission to deforest any area. Is that correct?
You have the right to cut trees down on your property.
Okay. But when it comes into with this Army Corps of Engineers was going to make a determination, was that part of this deforestation issue?
I think that the applicant, and I'm going to ask them again to make sure,
okay,
because I'm concerned, because you and I did not hear the same thing, and I might be wrong. I believe they said that they did have a jurisdictional determination from the Army Corps, and that they had a permit that was based on that to do the mitigation work. And I'm going to ask them again in a minute, but if that's true, then the clearing operation and all that's resolved, part and parcel, and it's not really an issue. But let's find out. But is there anything else you want me to ask?
Well,
about?
Again, I was going to make comments on,
okay,
this deforestation and removal of trees and vegetation.
Right.
Would you?
Right. Yes, sir.
I won't. Okay. The proposal also should be disapproved because of the unwanted removal of trees and vegetation. In particular, development along the western border of the property would destroy substantial forest acreage, which already has been done, fragmenting portions of a large forested area shared by this property and the adjoining property. The Denrock Division of Parks and Recreation expresses concern in its comments for the Technical Advisory Committee that the development would cause fragmentation of a 40-acre forest block, raising concerns about the impact of forest, removal of water quality of Roy Creek and the Aswoman Bay due to cumulative development impacts in the area. The developers propose nothing to address to mitigate the effect of development on these environmental sensitive areas. Finally, the proposal should be rejected because of its failure to minimize runoff rates in the surrounding waters, which Mr. Lessy has testified to. The Denrock Division of Water Resources points out that the proposed development is in an environmentally unsound proposal given the environmentally sensitive nature of the inland bay's watershed, in part because runoff is particularly acute here given the native soil limitations and the close proximity of the environmentally sensitive waters. This concern could be mitigated by prohibiting development on the wetland areas of the proposed property and reacquiring appropriate buffer areas between the lagoon and any development. To approve this subdivision plan would be bad policy, bad planning, and a bad precedent. The proposal is environmentally unsound, would permanently destroy fragile wetlands, and would have significant adverse effects on the public waterways, and would result in violations of the buffer requirements for the zoning ordinance and be entirely inconsistent with the public interest. Project like this would destroy the very attributes that attract people to this area in the first place. Accordingly, the proposed subdivision plan should be disapproved in its current form. I would also like to make a comment about what transpired in the 2001, when we first, Bellissimo first tried to receive permission to build on his property. At that time, Mr. Link said in his testimony that the maximum number of houses that should be put on this area was 27. And I think the amendments will reflect his concern back in 2000 or 2001. The proposed development along this western edge of the property is particularly disturbing to me. And it's environment sensitive lands is crucial to keep our waterways up to par, which currently they are not. I would also like to point out for technicality, the letter that was submitted by Fenwick Farms. I noticed at the end of the first and second paragraph, he puts a question mark. Is he asking a question, or are these a statement of facts? That's what I'd like you to consider that when you do review that information. Again, the trees are gone, the vegetation is gone, the property's raised, we have serious runoff in our lagoons. I live right across where I think it's either agricultural ditch or a tax ditch runs off into my property. We have called Denrock numerous times. I know there was a colonel something who came down, and by the time he came down, all this sediment has settled to the bottom of the water. We do have problems with the runoff. They have raised it up. My inferior knowledge on this would probably say, I think the water's gonna run off and back into the lagoons again. We have algae problems. The back of my property right now, if you'd like to come see, has numerous algae blooms. And this is done by runoff. I can't say it was theirs, but I think it's the consistent development of the areas around the lagoons that is creating this algae. I hope and plead with them, if they do get the permission to do this, that they do plant 400 trees, because trees will act as a good buffer to prevent any runoff again coming into our lagoons. I would really
have any choice, but to do that.
Okay, I sure hope so. It would be nice for the community.
I'm going to find out in a minute.
Okay.
I'm going to ask them the question.
They also mentioned the area on the property was surrounded by trees. Well, I know one part of that property they have no control of. I think Style Atkins owns it, so those trees got to stay. So they have to have trees on one part of the property. They say trees were toppled by storms. I live right across from that property. The trees did come down after they started developing the area. I think, again, as an amateur, because of their continually excavating the property, it dislodged the roots, and this is why a lot of trees did topple. They did have a problem, there were trees toppling, because I think of the excess evacuation of the property. Again, the work has been done. I don't know if they could do it. You can't answer that question because they didn't get permission from planning and zoning. Maybe they did. I'm not sure, but I can't.
They didn't need permission from planning.
Okay.
That's what we're telling you. We don't really have the ability to stop them any more than we have the ability to stop you from clearing trees on your lot.
Correct.
That's the problem.
That's correct. But I was, I'm kind of concerned with when I read all the information here. Did they need permission from the Army Corps of Engineers? It sounded like they didn't. I guess the only concern is now, did they fill in that western part of the property without the proper approval? Thank
out.
You very much for your
You're
time.
You're welcome, sir. Mr. Allen, would you come up and would you address the issue regarding the delineation and the permit from the Army Corps and what it was for and what it stated that you were allowed to do, or perhaps you'd like to have your able consultant to your right do that?
I'd like to defer this to the consultant.
Okay, would you give us your name and address, please?
Kelly Pearson, Dover, Delaware, 281 Sheffield Drive. I was hired on by Keith Properties as an environmental scientist with Envirotech Environmental Consulting. My specialty is wetland delineations and environmental permitting. I have been brought on to check their delineation lines and to take care of the actual mitigation process. Everything is in compliance with the Corps. I have worked with the head regulator, the Army Corps of Engineers, who is Kevin Faust, very familiar with the project. I will be monitoring the actual mitigation part of the wetlands for the next 3 years. I am have been consulting with them about the actual construction of the wetlands and about the actual plantings, which is 523 trees. If anybody else has any questions, I'll take them now.
No, we have no other questions. Thank you, and thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to speak in opposition? Yes, ma'am, please come up.
My name is Gail Ledenham, and I live at 21 Oak Road. I can't give you all the factors and fixtures and things like that, but what I can give you is that I've lived there for 20 years, and the water is worse than it's ever been. There's runoff everywhere. I don't know who monitors it. I don't know who doesn't monitor it, but you used to be able to take a boat and go around the circle, which is next to the land. You can't do it now because there's this huge thing that comes like this. There's trees falling down. There's sand. We can't even get through with a boat. There used to be otters. There's no more otters. There used to be muskrats. There's no more muskrats. They bulldozed until 10 o'clock the other night. They bulldozed on Sunday. You're like, they're monitored. Who monitors them on Sundays? Who monitors at 10 o'clock at night? I don't know, but it's different. I mean, it's just hugely different. And I don't, like I said, I can't sit up here and say it's because of this, it's because of that, but it wasn't there before. And like I said, I live right across from them for 20 years.
And we need to just help me understand. Now, when you say it wasn't there before, it wasn't there before when?
Wasn't there before all this construction started. There was never construction in this area. In other words, what you have is you have Keenwick on the Bay, which is here, and then you have this area here. And this is an old development. So there basically hasn't been anything new done in our development.
Right.
So basically, the waters have always been the same. Everything has always been the same. So now you have this, which he was saying, he's killing, the trees are dying because he's building it up. Well, here's the land here, so it doesn't take a rocket scientist. If it rains, where's it gonna go? Where's this fresh dirt gonna go? it's going to go in the water, and that's where it's been going. And he talks about, you know, if I went to buy a piece of property and it says it was wetlands, I'm not going to develop it, and I'm not going to look at it and go, okay, well, maybe I can put 20 houses here. It's just a no. There's right and there's wrong. And, you know, and if it's, and no matter if it says that it could be done, I guess the question is, should it be done? And, you know, there's just so much of this just going and going and going and going. And then it's like, when it's gone, you're going to look back and go, well, should have looked. And that's where I don't think anybody's looking. I think it's just going from this desk to this desk to this desk. And I don't think anybody's really going there and seeing what's happening. And that's what we're seeing. And that's all I have to say.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mr. Owen or Mr. Keith, I'm intrigued. Several people have mentioned bulldozers at 10 o'clock work on Sundays. Are we trying to do something under the radar here, or what? What's going on?
Sir, basically what it is I'm
I need you to give me your name.
My name is Brian Keith. I live in Fenwick Shoals. I'm the developer and the owner. Okay.
And it's not because I'm that ignorant.
That's fine. That's fine.
That tape machine does not recognize you.
The operation that's been occurring at 10 o'clock at night is due to a company going out of business that are coming and taking their equipment away. Meaning Fresh Cut is a company that the last 3 days have came at night to repo their equipment before other companies has came and took their companies away.
Somebody came and took it away.
So basically, I'm not running at 6 o'clock. My machine shut down, but there is other companies in there, as I said, Fresh Cut, that do come in there and do work. But lately, they've been coming there at night to repo their equipment.
Okay.
I want to address
your name.
Richard Keith.
Thank you.
Any wetlands that we've disturbed, we doubled in size with mitigation. The way that the property's designed, it's designed so no runoff ever comes off the property. If it does run off, Conservation District's there to say, stop it. And
Charlie Zimmerman's there every other day.
The way it's set up is all these there's holding areas, there's places for the water to dissipate after it runs off, but it doesn't run off the property. If it does, we fix it. I mean, there's not a chance that we let the water run off into canals, into ditches, into whatever, without coming to our attention and us repairing it right away. They have spreader that are at the end of the bias wells that have rocks in them that the water basically sits in until it dissipates into the ground. We don't let runoff go into, we try to the best of our abilities not to let any runoff come off the property.
This perhaps is beyond the scope of the commission. I certainly can't tell you to do this, but I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm going to ask you two to talk with Mr. Alessi, and I'm sorry, I missed your name already, the lady in the white top, yeah, and perhaps get Mr. Zimmerman and have a meeting on site and try to bring some peace of mind to these people. Obviously, somebody thinks you're a good neighbor, so you must be capable of being a good neighbor, and I'm sure that you don't want misunderstanding and so on any more than anybody else does, but clearly these folks are upset about some things they don't understand, and I would just ask you, I can't tell you to do it, it's not a condition of your...
We'd be more than happy.
We'd be more than happy. That's okay. How we did it with...
All right, then. Okay, good enough. Anyone else like to speak in opposition? Ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Hi, my name is Claudia Lessie. I live at 38217 Rockdown Drive. And I just want to say that I have seen the runoff.
Okay.
I mean, I wish I videotaped it. Was it just rushes right off? It's unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing, could you please clarify the phase two? I still don't understand why it says phase two on the permit and not phase three. I just don't understand that.
I'm going to get that answer for you right now, and would encourage you to meet with these folks when you get a chance. Thank you. My wetlands guy.
Kelly Pearson.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
That's fine. That's just the name that the title was given on the permit application. It's just, It's no big deal. It just says Fenwick Phase 2. It could have been Fenwick Phase 14. It's just a title. They could have named it Keith Properties Division. It doesn't stipulate that it's Phase 2 or Phase 3. It's just a title of the project.
Okay.
And then I can direct
But the documentation supporting all of that deals with the entire parcel?
That's my question. The actual documentation, the language, the verbiage deals with the whole parcel?
It covers the entire project.
Okay. All right. Then so it's just that they just didn't call it Phase 2 and 3. They just called it Phase 2.
Correct.
All right. Well, okay. All right. Anyone else like to speak in opposition? Anyone on the commission have any questions?
Just one statement,
yes,
and it's to follow up on something Mr. Wheatley has said, but I just want to make clear what he's not intended. You know, the commission always, I think, encourages people to talk to each other, you know, and I just want to make it clear that nobody up here is prejudging anything. It sounds like a lot of the concerns that have been raised by people in the audience have to do as much with the ongoing construction of the approved areas, and it would behoove you all to meet on that, you know, and certainly I think the commission's going to listen to what everybody's had to say this evening and take that under advisement with regard to Phase 3, but I think Mr. Wheatley's comments would apply, regardless of whatever happens on this application, to the existing project that's under development.
I would affirm your comments. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks for putting that on the record, because that's exactly what I meant. Anyone else have any other questions, comments? There being none, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to spend the rest of your evening with us to see if we make a decision, or you may call the office in the morning. Our next public hearing is subdivision 2005-42, Wilkinson Development, LLC.
This is an application to consider the subdivision of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district in Indian River 100, Sussex County, divided 120.2 acres into 214 lots under the cluster development concept, being located east of Road 290, also known as Cool Spring Road, 2,000 feet north of Route 5. This application has also been reviewed by the Technical Advisory Committee, and I would ask Mr. Abbott if he has any additional comments.
The Technical Advisory Committee report of October 19th, 2005 will be made a part of the record, Mr. Wheatley, and on... May 15th, amended site plans were submitted. Each of you has received a copy of that, and the applicants almost are also submitted an exhibit booklet that will be made a part of the record. Each of you have a copy of that. That's all we received to date. Okay, sir. Thank you.
I believe you're also provided with a corrected figure 28 and a list of contents.
All right, sir. Thank you, Mr. Abbott. Is there anyone here representing this application?
Yes, Mr. Wheatley. Good evening, gentlemen. Good evening, Lawrence. Gene Byard on behalf of the applicant. I know the hour is late, and I also know that Mr. Wheatley has a great deal of reading ahead of him this evening regarding certain construction standards. with me tonight are the applicants, Steve Wilkinson of Wilkinson Properties, and Kevin Burdett and Keith Rudy from Crone. Given the hour, we'll move right along. Kevin, I'd ask you to introduce yourself and talk briefly about the site.
I'm Kevin Burdett, Area Business Manager from Crone Incorporated. The site is located Cool Spring Road, as shown on the illustration board. We have
Can you describe the configuration of the site? Is it farmed, wooded?
Presently, the site is a timbered over fowled woods that have been timbered approximately 30 years ago, was never replanted properly or according to the wood specialists, which have been retained, and that's the condition of the site presently.
Gentlemen, in that regard, I refer you to, I believe it's figure 25 in your volume of material. There is a an assessment of the timber quality on site. Kevin, are there any rare or endangered plants or species on site?
There was a study done by Ken Redinger, Redinger Environmental, of the entire site, There were no endangered species found. There were no specialty trees found, no exclusive trees found, no trees that fell within the restrictive preservation acts.
Are there any wetlands on site?
There are some wetlands on the site. They're along the Chapel's Branch, towards the rear of the site. None of the lots go into the wetlands or touch the wetlands.
But let's move on now to the general area surrounding this property. Do you have a board you can show the commission?
Here is proximity of Route 5 headed north and south. We have in the vicinity, and this is in your booklets, if you would like to flip to it, you may see it. Probably the best illustration is figure 20, which is an aerial photograph. And if I move over to this side, Rick, and borrow your microphone, we have the site located right here. To the north of us, we have the Cool Spring Meadows development. To the northeast of that, Heron Bay. We have Woodgate, a development which was approved, I think, in 2005, which is 30-some single-family residentials with well and septics and no amenities in that development, which is the closest development to ours. We have on over to the right a Beaver Dam Acres, Spring Breeze, development which was approved here recently, Falcon Crest, Indigo Run, Hollyville Acres, a Danfield Acres, and then we have a commercial area. And in that commercial area, there are several businesses. We have these Sussex County Bible Church, the Pontoon Express, to give you a relative range as to where it is, the East Coast Structural Movers, the A1 Fiberglass, and I believe, at least I've been led to believe, that there's a new ambulance, paid ambulance service going to as well accommodate that facility, Kircher and Associates, and a little further down the road right there, the Delaware Solid Waste Authority. So it's quite obvious, I believe, that there is development going along in this area and this corridor.
Am I correct that the three most recently approved subdivisions are in no certain order, Spring Breeze, Heron Bay, and I believe it's Woodgate to the north of this property?
That is correct, yes.
Are there any agricultural preservation districts nearby or adjoining this property?
There are agricultural preservation districts adjoining the property. Again, our subject site. Right here, we have to the south of us the agricultural preservation, to the northeast of us the mag preservation, and to the direct north of us on Chapel's Branch, there is a Woodgate development, as we mentioned earlier.
As you know, there is a 50-foot buffer requirement between the boundaries of the agricultural preservation district and any building on this site. How do you plan to address that?
If you look at the site plan, which we will address later, and Keith, if you would bring that up now, there are approximately 15 or 16 lots in this development that are adjoining to or near the agricultural preservation areas. We have a 30-foot wooded buffer around the perimeter of the site. On the entire side that's near the agricultural preservation area, we have a thing called a 10-foot no-cut zone in the back of those lots as well. Those lots are presently wooded, so those areas are. Plus, we have our rear yard setback, so we should exceed by far the 50-foot requirement. And as I say, if you count the lots, which you're welcome to do, and I'll be happy to point them all out right now, there's about 15, maybe 16, depending on where the building, how you would like to set your house.
All right, moving along, this project will be served by Central Water and Sewer?
Yes, sir.
Who are the providers?
The purveyors or providers for the proposed central water system is Artesian Water Company. The proposed provider of the wastewater is Artesian as well. It is a primary secondary treatment facility with underground subsurface discharge. the subsurface discharge area located in the southeasterly quadrant. Those areas will become ball fields. You can play on them. They're just like the drain fields at your home, if you want to think of it in that aspect, and all the activities that go on top of your drain field can go on top of them. They can be soccer fields, no stuff.
Let's talk about the plan itself. Obviously, you had to have a plan to take to PLUS. Can you describe that plan and compare it to the plan that's in front of the commission tonight?
Yes. The original plan, which was taken to PLUS, shown in, again in your tab 10 if you'd like to look at it, was a cluster development. After listening to some of the comments from PLUS, we brought it back, took their comments into consideration, adjusted the plan, added a few more areas of natural habitat. PLUS, that was resubmitted to PLUS. We also, after further consideration and discussions with our client and his conformance, actually changed the plan, reduced some lots again to create this, where we have some relatively substantial natural habitated areas that are wooded, that are park, recreational. We've got trails around the site. I think it was around 3.6 miles of trails in this site. We have the lot sizing, even though under the cluster ordinance we're allowed 7,500 square feet, the average lot here is about 10,600 square feet. We have 51% open space on the project, which is approximately 60.83 acres out of the 120 total acres. 44% of the existing trees are remaining, which is approximately 52.41 acres. As well, we have planted and proposed to plant street trees as a mechanism along all internal streets within the development, and we will talk about that a little later. We have the multi-purpose fields in the back and the community area. When we got all said and done, we were at a density of approximately 1.56 units per acre for a total of 188 units.
Let's back up for a minute and talk about amenities. Can you describe the amenity package in its entirety?
Yes, sir. The amenity packages that we have, again, we have the walking trails, which go around the property, through the property. We have a top lot area, playground area. We have a centralized community building. We have the park areas. And then we also have the play field, ball fields at the rear southeasterly portion of the property here. Could you
run through those percentages again? The area in lots, the area in streets, and the area in open space and amenities?
We have the area in lots is 1.56 units per acre. There are 188 lots. We have 51% open space, or 60.83 acres. And the existing trees which are remaining are 52.41 acres, or approximately 44%.
Will there be sidewalks and streetlights throughout the community?
There are sidewalks and streetlights throughout the community. Again, in figure 28, you will notice the little red asterisks, which indicate our preliminary design of where the streetlights will be located. Sidewalks are contained within the community.
Will the multi-purpose area contain an area that could possibly be a basketball court?
There will be facilities that the basketball court could be provided in that area if the community should so desire. Again, I think it's important, and Gene, I did not mention earlier, that the project here was designed per the client's request to be in that moderately priced working class housing structure. Anticipated sales are on the lots are between the $80,000 and $120,000. the home lot package he's believing, and again, there's no guarantee with the price of oil going up and jumping all around, but will probably be in the $180,000 to $300,000 range for a lot home package on the nicer lots. So those are within the working class range, and we have, and the amenities that have been provided are for the family, growing family community. Consequently, we also have facilities and locations in the front for a school bus stop, and should mass transit, DART, ever become available in this area, there is a parcel of property set aside that could be used for a stop for them as well.
Although it's late, it's necessary. Kevin, can you take us through section 99-9C of county ordinance?
Be happy to. Briefly. Briefly. We have the integration of the proposed into existing terrain. The landscaping around the perimeter edges of this property have been maintained to the best ability possible. Proposed grading on the site will be maintained to a minimum to accommodate for obviously roads and utilities. And areas where we require some grading for drainage areas. Between the properties to the south and the east, we provided landscaping visual buffers. As you drive down Cool Spring Road, you'll notice there's quite an extensive forest buffer along the front, along with a water feature. So we believe as you drive down Cool Spring Road, you'll actually never see the development, except for the entry road. Again, we've placed a bend in this road right here. So as you would look in, the only thing you would see is the backside of this forested area. So we believe we have that. We have no lots fronting on 290. The back of the lots near 290, again, are separated by a large landscaped buffer. We have the wetlands. We have minimal impact on those. The construction will not require any wetland permits, and a jurisdictional determination was submitted to the Army Corps back in June of 2005. The large majority of the land is located in the Zone X, outside of the 0.2% area of chance of floodplain. Again, under the natural and historic features, 44% of those natural wooded areas on the site are going to remain, which is 18.89 acres of the 52.41 acres is forested non-tidal wetlands. The National Register of Historic Places does not list any historic sites for this property. Our inspections have not found anything which would contradict that. By clustering the lots like we've shown to the low density of the 1.5, we are able to keep approximately 51% open space within this development. Again, the scenic views which we've been trying to establish within this development are both the wooded view and the pond view for the residents. The track, we have 44% or 52.41 acres of the total 118.62 acres of wooded existing trees will remain. The provisions for water supply is required. We have artesian water, wastewater. We have artesian wastewater, again, doing primary and secondary treatment, which gives us a far better effluent discharge than the adjoining development just to the north of us, which has standard septics. We feel this is far more environmentally sensitive and the right thing to do. Surface and groundwater pollution prevention. We will meet all Delaware Sussex County standards to achieve the nutrient loading reductions. From the preliminary calculations, we appear we have will be able to meet that. The area of the Woodbridge development is in a fair groundwater recharge and a poor groundwater recharge area. So we are not using lands which are considered good to excellent for groundwater recharge. So again, the development of this property does make sense to take relief off of areas which have good and excellent recharge, because the recharge areas here are classified as fair to good. On-site soil and sediment erosion control will be provided by swales and a series of wet ponds to meet Sussex County Soil Conservation and Department of Natural Resources standards. Again, we have safe vehicular and pedestrian mobility throughout the development and into the development. The entrances are laid out and designed per DLDOT standards.
Stop right there, if you will. Gentlemen, if you look at figure, I believe it's 22, there is a traffic impact report which concludes that under 2009, no build or build conditions, there is no significant increase in delay, and all future level of service will still remain at B or better. As a result, the proposed site traffic generated will have no detrimental effects on future traffic conditions.
The internal roads of the development will be for public, will be private roads, public use. The effect on the area, we believe it will provide a reasonable community for moderate income families to live in the area. The land is not currently farmed, and as we said earlier, it was a cutover timber parcel that had never apparently been reseeded or retreated properly. Buildings, public buildings and facilities, the local fire company has led us to believe that they can service this without a problem. Local school systems do not see a problem taking the 188 dwelling units or the 1.5 units per acre into their system. We believe we are compatible with other land uses that are going on in the area. As we showed earlier, there's a substantial development, and even though it may be in a level 4 area, obviously the state of Delaware has recognized that it may be something other than that in reality, as they believe Route 5 is going to be maintained quite nicely, apparently, as they've located their solid waste authority there, and I would anticipate they plan on keeping their road up as we anticipate keeping ours up. The effects on the area waterways, we will discharge stormwater to Chapel's Branch. All discharges will meet Sussex County requirements and codes.
All right, last but not least, it's incumbent on the applicant to establish that this plan is superior to that of an ordinary grid subdivision. How do you establish that, Kevin?
Well, I believe we can let a picture say 1,000 words. Keith, if you would give me, we did take the opportunity to lay out a standard subdivision, and I'll allow the commission if we could to look at it. It is also in your tab number 28. And in that standard subdivision, you'll see the lots that were allowed by code and the configuration. And if we take, and you see that at the top versus what you have at the bottom, there's obviously far more open space. There is approximately, in the standard subdivision, approximately 10% open space. We actually were able to get it up to about 32%.
Can I interrupt a second, Mr. Burdett?
Yes, sir.
Did you say in section 28 would be that picture?
That was the handout, sir. My young lady, when she was copying the book.
Okay.
There you go.
Thank you very much.
Yes, sir, Mr. Johnson. When she was copying the book, the fancy copiers lied to you today, right? And she thought she had them all out, and come to find out it was still stuck in there. But with that, there is the standard subdivision. If you've all found them now in section tab 28, we can compare that to that. Again, the superiority, I believe, speaks for itself. Entrance on the standard subdivision, when you drive down Cool Spring Road, you see houses. Entrance for us, you see a massive forested area. You see a road going into the woods, you see a turn in the road, and you don't see the backyards of people's houses. As you come into the development, you'll cross and have a sense of arrival by the entrance across the bridge and through the boulevard to to the homes. Again, we've attempted to split the development into several sections, going from the west to the east. We have a playground area located there. We have wooded trails for the community to use in this section. We have wooded trails in this area. We have a large green belt, which again can be used as a nature animal passageway. We have a large timbered area, forested area, park area in the central facility of our project, adjacent to the community building, pool, and activities area.
Would you say, Kevin, that in McCrone's opinion and in yours, the design here is superior to projects recently approved by the commission, specifically Woodgate, Spring Breeze?
In my opinion, this project is far superior to a project such as Woodgate, which had no amenities, on-site well, on-site septic, no community activities at all, except for what was privately owned in your back door.
Gentlemen, that's the application. We're glad to answer any questions that you have.
All right, sir. We'll see if anyone has any. And we'll start with Mr. Johnson.
Point of clarification, are the roads that you're proposing to construct, will they be privately maintained or will they become state roads?
They will be privately maintained. We do have a maintenance agreement in your packet. Let me find the right sequence number. But they will be maintained by the Homeowners Association.
Okay.
There is a maintenance agreement.
And with
23.
Okay. And with the 188 proposed lots that you're saying may be affordable for the working individual, I'm assuming there are going to be school age children that might be a result of those marriages and relationships?
I certainly hope so, yes, sir. If not, we've spent a lot of money putting in amenities that...
And how might those children be picked up for school?
We do have a school bus facility located, a school bus set-aside area up here.
You do? Okay, I couldn't see that on the drawings, but you are proposing a school...
There will be an area set aside for a school bus. At the preliminary stage that we're at now, it is far better, we think, to wait when we bring you the preliminary site plan to be able to nail that down and make sure everybody's happy with it. As things are changing, particularly as you're well aware with child safety, there's new regulations being introduced that we want to make sure that we comply with.
And that is an issue for some of us on the commission in terms of school bus shelters.
Mm-hmm.
Along with that would be an area for the parents who are bringing their children to the school bus area to have a place to park. I mean, it's one thing to be able to drop your kid off who's 15 or 16, you figure they're going to be okay other than swimming in maybe your pond. But the smaller elementary school age kids, I think a lot of parents like to sit there with a car running, waiting for the bus to show.
Mr. Johnson, we agree with you. And as I said, we want to be looking at those things during the preliminary site plan approval.
Okay.
And I think it's really premature to try to put that into this pictorial.
That's something that we'll be looking for in the preliminary site plan.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
That's something we want to be providing.
And sidewalks, are you proposing one side, both sides?
At this time, both sides are being proposed.
Thank you. And I have no further questions.
Right here, Mr. Burton.
It's probably in this packet. Are you addressing the road? Are you going to bring that road to some kind of improvement?
Pool Spring Road?
Pool Spring Road, yes.
Pool Spring Road will be brought to an improvement as required by the entrance permit that we go to negotiate with DelDOT when that time comes, that they'll make the requirements. Presently, the conditions of Pool Spring Road, I am reasonably comfortably sure that DelDOT's going to require us to do some overlaying on that. To what extent, I do not know. What we have found is from our preliminary traffic study, which again, DelDOT did not ask for, but we went out and did, just so we knew what our impacts were going to be. The level of service at the intersections that we believe DelDOT would normally analyze in a traffic impact study had an existing level of service of B as in boy. With the complete build-out of this project, the level of service in those intersections is still a level of B. So to answer your question, Mr. Burton, when we go to DLDOT for our entrance permit and during that preliminary, again, site plan negotiation phase with them, they will tell us what we're going to have to do on Cool Spring Road.
And who will maintain the strip in where the power lines are? Is that part of the homeowners association?
That is part of the homeowners association and is under the open space management plan that's included for your review under figure 23.
Great. No further questions. Thank you.
All right, sir. Thank you. Mr. Gordy.
Good question.
Mr. Smith.
Yes, sir. I'm assuming that the clubhouse will have change in area restrooms. For
yes, sir.
The people using the swimming pool?
Yes, sir.
And I see you. You've provided for what seems to be a generous number of parking spaces. You happy with the size of the swimming pool as drawn here to
I believe so, yes, sir.
Size to
yes, sir, I believe so at this time.
Any thoughts on the possible relocation of the propane and the wastewater treatment plant? It looks like it's down near the lands that adjoin the, is it Tobin and McCarthy?
It is down in that corner of the property, yes, sir. The problem with relocating that, as we all know, if you have a septic system at your home, one side of your lot may not be as good for your septic system as the other side. Those are the areas which the soil scientists, we turned the soil scientists loose first, and they told us where the good soils were, and then we had to design the development really around it. And now, let me bear in mind, though, or allow you to bear in mind, we have tucked in the wastewater facility here, and that is within a building structure, very similar to the one you've seen on Route 9, I'm sure, as you go from here just past Harbison. It's very similar to the one at Stonewater Creek. It's within a contained structure, the actual treatment facility. The subsurface discharge area would look very similar to what you would have out at your high school ball field. There's nothing sticking up. There's no spray irrigation heads, you know, popping off. There's no ribs. It is a grassed area that we fully intend and have our client has made the conditions with Artesian that those areas will be maintained for open access for children to play. So even though it is down in that southeasterly corner, we don't believe it's any devastation to the adjoining property because we don't believe it'll be any odor coming out of within the structure itself. There is no open spray of wastewater, so it'd be just like a grassed field being adjoining to their property. And if you look at the aerial photograph, if I can take you to that, in figure 20, you'll notice that this portion of the adjoining property is actually wooded. It's not a tilled field right up against that. There's actually wood showing in there, according to the aerial photo. So, like I say, that we don't believe it's going to be a hardship. No, sir.
Is there any noise associated with the machinery inside that building?
We can bring up, if you would like, Artesian Water. I think you've heard him speak before.
Bring him up. Artesian. He's the expert.
I remember that being a question that our Mr. Allen asked at one point.
Name and address, sir.
Daniel Barbado, 664 Churchman's Road, Newark, Delaware.
Great. Noisy equipment?
No, there is not. This is the only thing inside is an aspirator blower, and this is it's a steel building. It's insulated, and that it's intermittent operation. So there's no. You know, there's no big hulking parts or anything that's significantly noisy. You'd never hear anything.
Is it a factor that the trees, if maintained in place on beyond the treatment area, will baffle that sound if there were any sound?
I believe that's true.
All right, sir. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Anything else, Mr. Smith?
No, sir.
All right, sir. Well done, everybody. Mr. Lang.
When you did yours.
I'm sorry, I left out Mr. Burton.
Excuse me. Go ahead.
No,
sorry.
Did you get a chance?
I hate to interrupt.
Okay.
You weren't paying attention.
No, he's eager to get to his reading,
there
Mr. Johnson.
There was a good question.
We're going to take a recess in a minute, though. Go ahead, Mr. Lang.
When you designed your standard subdivision, I noted on your, on figure 28 that it made reference to the subsurface disposal area. Is that design still with a central water or central source system?
On figure 28?
Yeah.
That was still with central water, yes.
Okay, so you went down to 20,000 square foot lots in the standard. And how many lots did you have?
Approximately 115.
And in the cluster development, you were at 7,500 or you said 10,000 plus, I think?
It's the average is about 10,600.
Okay.
If average. You take the smallest one, add them up and divide them out.
Okay, that's all right.
All right, sir. Thank you. Mr. Couts.
Just 2 points. You're aware that the county is in the process of responding to the state requirements for a wellhead protection area program.
Yes, sir.
And I'm assuming that there'll be a new well for the public water system that'll be part of this. And I guess my only concern is that you be aware that the whatever change will be required as part of that ordinance. And one of the areas of concern that's already been raised by the agriculture community is making sure that the wellhead protection areas are on the, are contained within the area of the development that's requiring the wellhead protection areas, so that it doesn't impact potential for development on adjacent properties. I'm sure you're aware of that. The other point, I noticed that you've got a the required open space management plan.
Yes, sir.
Required by the cluster ordinance. In looking through it, I would just offer a suggestion that since it, the responsibilities of the homeowners association include roads, and in fact, your open space management plan states that Wilkinson Properties LLC provides all maintenance and management for all open space areas, roads, fencing, et cetera. It would be a more complete plan if you also included the responsibilities and estimated financing for road improvements also, since it will be one of the areas of responsibilities of the Homeowners Association once Wilkinson is out. So it would be a more complete plan.
We'll take it under advisement.
That's all.
All right, sir. Mr. Robertson.
Yeah, I think I want to follow up to Mr. Smith's question, because he also asked about the propane storage. Sometimes that's been required by the commission to be relocated centrally. I know you talked a lot about the sewer, but the propane's also right on that boundary. Is that something that's a function of that wastewater treatment, or just because that's sort of where it's located, that's where the propane went?
We have, Mr. Robertson, we have found that we would like to keep the waste or the propane near our, if you want to call it our heavy commercial industrial, I mean, utility portion of this project. And as you're well also aware, if you look at the one at Stonewater Creek, the one that's been approved at Beaver Creek, they are within a buried mound system, but there is dirt completely over the propane tank. You won't be seeing the tanks.
That's what's proposed.
That is what is anticipated here, yes, sir.
And the other question that you all sort of danced around a little bit is the letter from Ms. Holland, which talked about, you know, the level four standard comments that we're getting from the state. And I was just wondering if you could touch upon those, because that's something that the commission's always wrestling with.
I'll be happy to, Vince. As Kevin touched upon, this area may have been designated level four on paper, but it is no longer level four in fact. That one board, all the green is development of the level four area. It is all relatively low density development because that's what's called for in level four. But for the state planning office to say this is a pristine level four area simply is no longer true. If you look at one of the figures in the written submission, it's an aerial of 2002. Six of those projects are not on the aerial. They're just not shown. Since that date to this, the commission has approved those six. So I think the commission has recognized that this is an area where low density development is appropriate.
Thanks.
Richard?
Director. Anything else?
That's all the other questions.
All right, sir. Gentlemen, thank you. If you'll stand by, we'll see if anyone is here with an interest in your project. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of subdivision 2005-42 Wilkinson Development LLC? Is there anyone here who would like to speak in opposition to subdivision 2005-42? And would that be you? You're waving your hand?
I'm not against.
You can't talk from there. If you're going to talk, you got to come up here, give me your name and address. You're fine. I'm just advising you of the rules.
I understand. Again. I've been here before. My name is
Well,
Bill.
Then you should know that you should have to.
I know, and I'm embarrassed to tell
all
you.
All right,
I
but it's 9 after 9. That's
and we're
no
all
problem.
Tired.
And we're all tired. Go
right.
ahead, sir. What can we help you with?
My name is Bill Tobin. My wife and my daughter own the property that is adjacent to them.
Uh-huh.
Since this has been proposed, I've been very angry. My wife and my daughter has been very angry about the way it was handled. I want to take my hat off to Mr. Byard. Of course, he did an excellent job. To you, sir, Mr. Wilkerson, I think.
Sir, you need to speak to us.
Mr. Wilkerson designed a nice project.
Okay.
But I have one question to ask you that's fallen on deaf ears, and I'm
right.
really concerned about it.
Try to find an answer.
Soil and Conservation can't answer my question. Nobody can. Back before October, I believe, I have the pictures at home and walked out and forgot them. I have 110 pictures that border our property that roads and elevations and building lots have already been laid out. My question is this something that is done? That's the only question I have.
Well, I'll try to find you an answer.
Okay. Thank you, gentlemen, for your time.
Okay, thank you. Well, Mr. Byard, someone from your team want to address that concern?
In that regard, I'm Sergeant Schultz. I'll defer to Mr. Burdett.
We have heard this before. We have asked our client, if he would like, we can bring him forward. He has not authorized any road construction. We do know that Delmarva Power and Light was in there, as you're well aware, if you've traveled any of the northeastern side of Sussex County. They're putting those big, massive electric poles in, I mean, they've got traffic going on. We did have some geotechnical work being done in the southeasterly portion of the property, as Mr. Smith had asked earlier about, you know, why is it there? They had a drill rig in there for that. But I can assure you, our surveyors have not staked out any roads because, again, as you can tell from our submission, this project has shifted 3 times. There have been no roads laid out to our knowledge. My surveyors have laid no roads out on that project. We have staked a grid system out for the soils boring work, the geotechnical work, and any clearing that may have been done for a drill rig, but there were, like I say, no roads, lots, or et cetera. This is Steve Wilkinson. Steve?
I'd like to just add to that. I believe what Mr. Tobin was referring to was back when Atlantic Resource Management, our soil scientist, was in clearing some transects to do test pits and detailed soil testing as required by DENREC as a part of the submission process to get the central wastewater treatment system and disposal area approved. The concern was raised to her, and she followed up on this, what she assured me, that everything was done by the laws and regulations of DENREC of what you're supposed to do, and she followed up with the conservation people just to make sure that they knew that's what the activity was going on out there. By no means were we clearing any roads or building lots.
Did the gentleman call you?
No.
Nobody called you to ask you?
No, I heard through Lisa Wood of Atlantic Resource Management.
Okay. But did they talk to the folks who were concerned? Do you know?
I don't know. I've got everything second and third hand, so I'm not sure who had the conversations.
But that was the answer is that it was the result of the testing that was being done for your ultimate design, I guess.
Yeah, for the wastewater treatment plant and disposal.
Okay. Well, sir, that's the answer they gave. Is there anyone else who wish to speak in opposition? Does anyone on the commission have any questions? There being none, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to stay to the see if we make a decision, or you may call the office tomorrow. Gentlemen, that completes our public hearings for the evening, but